America is at war. Globalists and leftists have taken over the highest levels of our state and federal government, our state houses, Congress, Supreme Court, and even the highest office of the land. They are indoctrinating our children, corrupting our morals, dividing our people, and attempting to eradicate God. But the weapon they cannot withstand is a people united under God and armed with the truth. Now join Pastor Steve Taylor, Director of Christian Rights Ministries and President of the Alliance Legal Group, for another episode of the Faith and Freedom Network.
Good afternoon, Hampton Roads. Steve Taylor here, and this is Last Days News with Steve Taylor. And actually, it's Steve Taylor's Last Days News. And we have with us, of course, ever faithful Colleen. How are you doing today, Colleen? Colleen.
Sorry, I was taking a phone call.
Oh, no problem.
I was getting Tony on the line.
Oh, Bush, we're not going to ask you to talk too much. Sounds like your voice is still pretty bad.
It is. So people have
bad
to bear.
Bad voice.
I have no voice today. I feel fine. It's just the voice. So it sounds pretty bad for somebody who's supposed to do radio for a living.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. That we do understand. And it's certainly something that we won't hold against you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And so so we are here today, Last Days News, Faith and Freedom Network, of course. And we basically, let's do this. I'm going to go ahead and do the announcements today as far as who's sponsoring the program, just because you got your voice situation going on. So, folks, Hampton Roads, that I'm Steve Taylor, that I have been practicing for almost, since 1990, since 1995 in the Alliance Legal Group and the Law Office of Steve Taylor. And we do a lot of bankruptcies. We do a lot of general practice. We do domestic things, traffic things. You may have got some letters from us because we go down to the courthouses, and if you've got an issue with a traffic ticket, then we send a letter out to you. You may have seen that in your mail. If not, then hopefully you won't get one down the road. But if you do, then contact us, and we'll be glad to help you. We're very, very, very good and extremely competitive in that area. But we also do a lot of help with people trying to get out of debt. We're one of the top bankruptcy filing law practices in the South Hampton Roads area, and we'd love to help you. We have four attorneys in four offices. Actually, we have four or five attorneys. Sometimes I lose track. But we do most of our appointments by either Zoom or phone conference, and we have a little chat box at www.debtfreeva.com. That's www.debtfreeva.com. And if you want to touch base with me or one of our attorneys, you'll always have an attorney-led, driven consultation to discuss your financial situations with you and determine whether or not bankruptcy or some other option might be good for you. We do a lot of workouts, which means basically we contact the creditor, try to get a good deal for you, try to get rid of that debt, try to get you a new start. That way, sometimes that makes sense. Other times it makes sense just to go ahead and get a complete fresh start. And one really good thing is we also are very concerned about your credit score. We help you try to get that thing back up where it's supposed to be. And a lot of our folks have 700, 720 credit scores within about a year of filing. And so we'd like to show you how, and we can certainly help you in that area. So with all that being said, please contact us. That Alliance Legal Group supports and promotes and provides the resources so that this program can go on every Tuesday and Thursday from 12:30 to 1:30. And we do this because one, we believe it's a calling. I believe it's a calling to try to help other folks out as we enter into this unprecedented time, namely the last days. And so I'm a pastor at Trinity Christian Church in Suffolk, that we have a beautiful church there. We'd love to have you come by in person or join us by... right now, unfortunately, it's by Facebook because, you know, we haven't, we're a small church, and a lot of the stuff that we do as far as the ministry, including this Last Days News program, we could use some technical or technological or IT help because it's usually just me trying to get us on air and online so that we would love to have some more assistance on that. If that sounds like a calling that you might have, that we'd love to just talk to you about that. And but again, that Last Days News is a is a function of the Alliance Leo Group. Again, that we have, I have a wonderful group of folks at the church called Trinity Christian Church of Suffolk. And we also have another ministry that I'm involved in. It's called Christian Rights Ministries. And what that is a faith-based 501c3 entity that assists Christians when they get persecuted. And so that we do that absolutely free, pro bono. And that what we do is we help folks everywhere that there's a faith-based reason to assist. If we can't assist, then we know some bigger folks that can, like the Alliance Defend Freedom, Matt Staver's Liberty Council group, and others that would be glad to assist in the event that you have a faith-based issue. And that generally, we don't charge anything for that. That's all pro bono. We just do that because we want to help the body of Christ. So with all that being said, that we're rolling today, and that it's the second day of the top 10 things to do as we enter into the last days. And I believe that that's pretty much where we're at this point, that ever since the coup d'etat happened in 2000, and I guess that was November of 2019, or was it 2020? I guess it was 2020, the coup d'etat that happened on November 6th, 2020. Is that when it happened? Yeah. And then, of course, by January 6th, the inauguration of the fake president, you know, the person that Comrade Joe, and the Biden regime, you know, that was the just about the culmination of the coup d'etat. But then they finished it off a couple months later by installing, you know, their folks in the Georgia elections as far as stealing the Senate. And that all happened. And that's a coup d'etat, which means that you have foreign adversaries, or you could have internal adversaries, overthrow a government. This time it wasn't by force, it was by theft of the election. And of course, we did very little of anything about it since then. So with all that being said, that signaled a period of time where we believe that things have changed quite a bit, and that it could be very much related to spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we are believing that we are very close to that 7-year period of time called the tribulation, if not already having entered it. With all that being said, I think we have a caller on the line. Do we, Miss Colleen?
Yes, you have Tony on the line.
We got Tony on the line. Tony, you there?
How are you doing today? Yes, I am. Thanks for having me on again. It's a great pleasure to be on the show. It's a great...
It's good having you on, Tony. I had to turn down the mic a little bit, or the speaker. You got good clarity today that you're in Mississippi again, I guess, today?
Yeah, I'm standing on a lake today, making sure I got clear access to a tower, I guess, nothing in the way.
Well, be careful for that 5G radiation out there. Is it a 5G tower?
I know. There's a 5G tower about 5 miles from here. I know that, so I'm on the side of the lake where it's at. I've noticed, like I said, I believe in that. I don't know who doesn't, but I believe in the 5G. I experienced a lot of stuff myself that made me believe it's true. So, yeah, I'm being real careful right now, but thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good having you here. So last Tuesday, I guess it is. It's already Thursday? It sure is. So last Tuesday, we were going over the top 10 things to do, the top 10 things to prepare as you prepare, as we enter into this unprecedented time, this last day's time. Whether we're in the 7 years, you know, we cannot be dogmatic about that because we really don't know. There's a lot of speculation. It seems like there's a lot of things going on. These four horsemen called the four horsemen of the apocalypse, found in Revelation chapter 6, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the green horse, or the pale or mottled the kind of the pale horse, that represent what most Bible scholars, most Protestant Bible scholars and other Bible students, you know, as this coming Antichrist in the white horse, the red horse representing war and destruction, the the black horse with the rider representing having, you know, the scale with the saying, you know, so much for a day's worth of wages of barley and so much for a day's worth of worth for the wheat. And, you know, so... So with all that being said, that the then of course fourth is the pale horse, which represents death and hell, and they say that the scriptures tell us that 25% of the earth will be subject to that rider, whether they're all killed during that period of time or just subject to death and hell. We don't really know for sure, but we're seeing those. If we're not in that 7-year period of time, which I believe could be up to 4 years for those four horses. That they have certainly mounted and that they're beginning to ride. What say you, Tony?
I believe you're totally correct. I believe you look at what's happening around us, and then you go to the book, and you match what's happening in the book to what they said was going to happen and what's happening now. And it's very clear that we're in a time with unprecedented that we've never seen before. And that's what it says in the book. It says there'll be a time, Great Tribulation, as never seen before will start, and I'm not saying we're in 100% of it, but we're definitely in the beginning of it.
Yeah, and so that the, like I said, if the horses aren't riding, they've counted up. And so I believe that there's a good chance that they're actually riding. And, of course, we haven't seen that first horse, as far as we can tell. The rider on the white horse, the very first horse, which very obviously represents the first time period of that 7-year tribulation, you know, usually represented or usually discussed in most Bible commentaries and Bible students as, you know, possibly the Antichrist. Tony, go ahead and take that real quick. I have to...
Okay. Well, we talk about it in Scripture. It talks about one will come out and say, I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one who will lead you guys into peace, eternal peace. And the scripture is real clear that when the first guy comes out and says that, ain't that guy. He's not the one. He's an antichrist. He's the one that's really against Christ and what Christ believes in. So if you look at what's happening now, we match that to the time we're in. I mean, what does the scripture say? That'd be wars and rumors of wars. Well, we got wars in Ukraine. There's rumors of more wars happening. There's rumors of more things. I mean, Putin is threatening nuclear war. China's signing a pact with Putin. And then you look at what's happening around the world. Russia just went on to the gold standard. Their money's now backed by gold. First time in a long time that's happened. So if you look at all these things, that means the dollar will destabilize because you now have Russia selling their products in rubles, demanding rubles. You want our oil, you better have rubles. That's what they're saying. That means they're not going to use the dollar. That means China's not going to be using the dollar as much. And you have Saudi Arabia and other countries saying the same thing. So these things move in. America, you're going to be challenged in a way she's never been challenged before. She's never had a challenge she hasn't lived through. But this is going to be one of the toughest. I mean, our economy is going to be affected very negatively. We're going to have rapid inflation. We're going to have rapid deflation of the dollar down. And in that, you're going to have other nations looking to take over our position as the world peg. If we lose our position as the world peg, our dollar totally collapses. That means what cost a buck today could cost 5, 10, 15, who knows? I mean, everyone remembers Venezuela, one of the best economies in the world, when socialism took over. And now they have one of the highest inflation in the world. That's not by chance. That's what it always does. So here we are in the end times, looking at what we're doing. And it's a great time to make sure that you know who God is, know who your Savior is, and how to keep yourself in a good relationship with Him, and keep people around you that you can trust, that you can talk to, that you can share your beliefs with, and not feel weird, not someone tell you you're a crazy conspiracy theologist. Because one thing I'll tell anyone that tells me I'm a conspiracy theologist, because I'm not. I'm a person who looks at what's happening over and over and over, and I pull in facts, and when the facts match what's happening, I can't deny it's happening anymore. I have to I have to face the fact that this is what's really happening. And if you looked at 10 years ago, if I'd have told you, hey, in the year 2020, there's going to be this crazy virus. It's going to come out. It's been planned by a government in China. It's been planned by the U.S. helped to pay for it through a lab. They leech out this crazy virus. It shuts the whole entire world down. The economy stops worldwide for almost months upon months. And you would tell me, you're crazy. The world would never believe that. They would never buy into that. They'd never, ever accept that. Well, here we are. Then if I told you, hey, we're going to have gas prices at $7 a gallon, $10 a gallon in places, you'd say, that's crazy. We got more gas than we can shake a stick at. In 2017, 2018, we were a leading producer of natural gas fuel in the world. But here we are today begging for fuel from somebody else. Why is that? Because we're not pumping our own. Biden has shut the wells down to American production, which means we're dependent on the rest of the world. Why would you do that? Well, if your goal is to destabilize America, that's one of the best things you do. If you run a company, a lot of you out there have your own companies. If you have increasing costs, you look for ways to decrease your costs by finding other ways to do stuff, finding other vendors, finding better values, or you figure out how to produce better. We're not figuring any of that stuff out. We are literally accepting whatever the world throws at us and saying, oh, that's just the way it is. Food famine is happening worldwide. America is one of the breadbasket countries of the world. We produce more food than anybody else in a lot of cases. But we're not producing right now because our farmers got told not to. And I'm going down this narrative because I don't want to take away Steve's thunder too much. So I'm covering the parameter of what he's going to be talking about, things you need to know. So I'm going to stay on this topic a little bit till he comes back. But we are a breadbasket country. We have some of the best soil in the world. But last year in 2021, the government started sending out little flyers to farmers, and I have farmers who are friends. So I know it's true because they got the memo. They got the letter delivered to them, not by the Farm and Home Administration, who runs the programs, but by the CDC, which is really weird, saying if you cut your production in half, we'll pay you like you produced a full crop. And next year, only plant half as much of that, and we'll pay you again. Well, you say, why would you do that? Well, if you're planning to have a worldwide famine, if you're planning to have world deep stabilization, reducing the food that is easily grown would be the first thing you do. Bill Gates, while this is all happening quietly, bought up a large swath of American agricultural land. He's now the largest farm owner in America. Bill Gates. That's right. The Microsoft techno guy now is the largest farmer in the U.S. Why? Because he wants to make genetically modified food for everybody. Why would you do that? Because if I supply your food, I can get whatever I want into your food in it before you get it. So in those processes, that's a lot to think about. Now, I won't ask you to say anything, Colleen, but you know that's a lot to chew on, isn't it, Colleen?
I can't talk too much, so I appreciate you all taking on the show today. I wish I could talk in a little bit more due to the circumstances, but no, I appreciate your sharing all of that.
Yeah.
I know Steve was going through those 10 things. Maybe we'll have to continue that on to another program, but continue on with what you're talking about.
Well, I'm going to take a step back into what he was talking about. The first thing we talked, number one, was have a good relationship with God. Primary, fundamental, have a good relationship with God. So I'm going to touch on what he already has. Next one is find people who you can talk to. Find people you can trust. Find your tribe. In marketing, they call it finding your tribe. You find the people who are attracted to things like you, and that's where you focus your efforts at. Christianity is the same way. Number three, prepare yourself the best way you can, financially, with your economic base. Divert yourself into gold or whatever else you believe the best thing's going to be for stabilizing your income, and trust your friends to help you with that. Then the next one would be food. Make sure you have an ample food supply. Make sure you have a way of getting food. Make sure you have a way of getting water. Make sure you have a way of sustaining your family. You can go to the store right now at home at Costco and buy a bag of rice or a bag of beans. think it's like $20-something. It used to be like $15, so it's doubled almost. But you can buy, you take that, put it in a 5-gallon bucket, buy the little things off Amazon, or you buy them from your camping supplies, the little dehydration packets. You throw that, you throw a bag inside the 5-gallon bucket first, a plastic bag. You put the beans inside that. You throw the dehydrator pack on top of that. You tie the bag shut. You close the lid on the 5-gallon bucket, and that'll last you for over a year. So there's lots of ways to prepare yourself. The thing is, don't get caught in the illusion of the new normal. Like what they want us to believe is everything's going to be just fine. It's all going to go back to normal. We'll have a great and think about what they said. 2 years over, almost 3 years now. Biden's been in office for a year. We were told in 2020 through 2021, just 2 weeks to flatten the curve. If you just give us 2 weeks and do what we say, you'll all get to go back to normal. While they're doing that, they're increasing restrictions. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't go outside. You can't even go to your grandma's house for Thanksgiving. You need to stay away from it. You can't have your dog nearby. All these crazy things we'd never, ever do before. But that's what they're trying. They're trying to destabilize our thought process along with what we do. And then you look at what they've done since then. How many times have you heard about the vaccine? I have a good friend. They've taken the vaccine. They're having problems now. Never had a problem before. Was never sick before. And I'm not knocking anyone who's taken the vaccine. If you've taken the vaccine, you need to make sure you do your research on how to take care of your body. Because the vaccine is not a vaccine. It's really an mRNA. Look it up. The patent on all four of them say mRNA modification product. And I just went out, and the funny thing is they have the new quick test, the new rapid test. Well, I'm reading last night, and I have another show I'll be posting on, and I'll do the same thing with Steve here, but I'm reading the information on the rapid test. And what it says is how to take the test, you know, take it out, put it in your nose. And the funny thing is, this is only 2 inches long, 3 inches long. It's not the foot-long thing they tried to shove through your brain before. But you said you take it, you put it in little vials, the liquid's in the vial, you put the agent in there, and that agent helps tell you whether you got COVID or not. But it says if you get that on your skin, wash your skin quickly. The product that's in that test tube is caustic. Extremely caustic is what it says. Then right next to it, it says danger determination unknown. Well, if you don't know how dangerous it is, how do you know how caustic? Because caustic is a poisonous reaction to something you've seen something happen to, and that's how you know it's caustic. And it hurts whatever it touches. But somehow they're separating those two words, and it's been a real big play on words with what we're going through right now. Being prepared is understanding they're trying to twist our language. They're trying to change what we do as people and what we think of as English language. Like one of the things I noticed they did so far, and Steve, if you're back, just let me know when you are. But
I'm here.
Okay, go. Do you want to jump back in, Steve?
Well, yeah, so go ahead and finish your thought, and then I'll jump in.
Okay, well, what I've noticed is they've changed terminology. The new term is vapor and moisture transfer. The old way was you transferred
aerosol, agent. Right?
Yeah, aerosol. Yeah, you transferred a virus or a bacterium by airborne properties. The wind blew, it blew it near you. The air inside your room, the AC kicks on, circulates it more. It floats in the air. It's airborne. Well, now they're talking about aerosol. Well, look up the definition of aerosol, and the primary definition of aerosol was an agent comprised of a liquid form put under pressure in a container and sprayed. That's the primary definition. Now, since that definition came out, last year they've added some more. And the last one they added is a spit or a moisture transfer from me to you, or even just plain it goes in the air. So now what they're trying to do, they're trying to take aerosol and make it say, okay, this aerosol that we have and that we now have is being spread, but we want you to think it's being spread naturally. We're not doing it. So that's the kind of stuff you got to be aware of, that they're trying to redefine the English language. Same with transgenderism, all this stuff. They're trying to redefine how we think. So I'll let you jump back in, Steve. Go ahead.
Okay, well, that was good. I, and again, what I do, again, these folks that
we help every day. That I'm here at the office, and lots of times I'll have situations occur as an attorney that I have to take care of those. Now, between you and I, the things I was just taking care of were things that were pretty easy to take care of. But again, that if something comes up while you're my client, I'm going to go ahead and take that time off and take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. That's just what happens. It's called being a fiduciary. It means that I put your best interest ahead of mine. And so that I put my brain in your head and then try to do what I would do if I was you. So with all that being said, that I appreciate your thoughts, Tony, on that. And as we approach the half hour mark, let's just go back over again what we're doing here. That we're talking about the top 10 things or so to do to prepare for the last days. And the reason this came up was that I've just noticed that people don't recognize what's going on. That even Christians, people that have been born again, people that are blood bought, are living life like they lived 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It's amazing that they don't even, from a secular standpoint, I see people much more prepared, recognizing that, you know, that there's been a coup d'etat, that there's been a shadow government that has taken over our country, and there's problems. But with Christians, many times that we just say, well, you know, God's going to take care of all this, and so I don't need to do anything. And that's just not true. That's not the way warriors work. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And we are chips off that block, and that we're supposed to be here for a reason. So having said that, that things have dramatically changed, that we're in spiritual warfare, that God is in control, and he's placed us in such a time and place as this to make a difference. So going over that 10 list as we wrap up this half hour, the first one we talked about was getting saved. If you're not blood bought, if you are asked the question, if you die today, would you go to heaven? And you have any other answer other than something to the effect that you've been born again, that God lives inside you, that Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Savior, that you've been transformed, renewed, and called, and you remember when that happened. If you don't remember when that happened, that's not necessarily indicative of you not being saved, but it's certainly a question that comes to my mind, because if you ask somebody when they got married, they know when they got married. They know the dress they were wearing, or the suit they were wearing, the car they were driving, the magistrate or the judge that they, or the pastor that they that married them. But so many people that claim to be Christians don't know when they got saved. It was when I was a kid, or back in the day. I don't remember exactly what happened. And the reason that happens is because many times there wasn't a firm commitment, and there wasn't a transforming event, a born again experience. And so maybe that didn't happen. Maybe it did happen. But get saved. Get saved. Get saved. And then the second thing we talked about was get awakened. That means that, just like the 10 virgins we've discussed, that there were 10 virgins that were waiting for the Lord to return, who then did return at midnight, which is a critical thing that we may talk about later. But that 5 of them had their oil and 5 of them didn't, that representing the Holy Spirit, but that all were asleep. And that's the way America and the church is today, for the most part, that they don't know what time it is. They don't know that we're approaching that midnight hour. They're asleep. They're not aware of what's going on, and that we need to get awakened. A lot of things going on. This is not a drill. We cannot just go through the motions and preach sermons like the sermons we preached 5 years ago and do the things that we used to do. This is a time of action, a time of war, a time of preparation. So that was the second thing we talked about. The third thing was get informed. And, of course, in getting informed, we need to have a biblical worldview. Tony and I talked about maybe going a little bit more over that. But the bottom line understanding would be is that the book. It is the book. It is our manuscript. It is our, let's tell you what it is. Gideon's Bible, right in the front of the Bible, has a great little saying. This is what that book that Tony referred to the Christian, and this is what the Bible, that book, is to the Christian. It contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. It means you can't change them. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is the grand subject, our good, and our good, the design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is giving you in life will be opened at the judgment and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. That's what that book is that Tony was talking about. So that's what we need to do. In order to get informed, we need to know what the Bible says. And if you haven't been reading your Bible, you're not going to know the roadmap that God's given us, the newspaper that he's given yesterday's newspaper today, so we understand what's going to happen. That's the most important source of information. Prayerfully absorbing what God says and discussing it with other Holy Spirit-filled Christians is the way to understand what's going to happen in the days to come. But there are news sources that are better than others, that there's a world out there, a worldly environment where there's earth dwellers that have their own sort of media. You know, all we have to look at, you say, well, I listen to Fox News. Well, that Fox News was the same folks that predicted the election before it was ever cast and said the globalists deserve to win, despite the fact that the votes hadn't even been counted. So the news sources that we've done programs on, which ones to look at, contact me, that I'd be glad to share with you some of the sources that we're continually finding new sources. You're probably not going to find what you want all the time on YouTube, but you might find it on Rumble. You might find it on some of the other apps, but that you're not going to find it on CNN or MSNBC or any of those woke sort of worldly Disney-owned channels that basically want to convert your mind. It's 103. I'm going to go ahead and just the last two things we spoke about, I think actually the last one we actually spoke about, that we took the grand view from 1,000 feet above the earth, was get your team. Tony said get your tribe. You know, whatever you want to call it, make sure you got the right team. Get some new ones if you need to, and get rid of the old ones if you should. That means that not every, you know, a lot of people say they're Christians, but not every hamburger in a, not everything in a McDonald's is a hamburger. You know, that not everything in a garage is a car. And so make sure that we got some real blood-bought folks around you that will be there in the time of crisis. And that means that sometimes you're also going to find some folks that haven't yet been saved, but that have a calling on their life that God's called to you and you to them, that you should be very aware that basically that those are part of your team. It just hasn't happened yet. You got to be very discerning. Family members, people that close friends, people that you can trust are going to be critical, more important than the rest of the list that we're going to talk about. Getting our team together is way, way more important than having a shelf full of green beans. You know, so getting your team together, get the right team, get rid of the folks that are going to drag you down, going to turn on you in a crisis. Once the evidence is there, then be careful. You know, that what did Barney say? It says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, that we need to take the hints that God's given us in the relationships we have in order to build that team. And those folks that you're called to minister to, your family, to your children, to those loved ones, those friends, make every effort to get them saved. But again, remember that Jesus told us that in those last days, there were going to be families that were going to split. He said he didn't come to bring peace, but to divide one person against the other. There's going to be splits even in families. Make sure you have your ultimate source of trust in Jesus alone. And sometimes he's going to change your team. He's going to change your team that you think that you have to have. So be aware of that. So with all that being said, that's what we covered the first four. We're going to go to a couple new ones. Before we do that, we're not asking Colleen because she's got the difficulty in speaking. Tony, any thoughts on any of those before we jump into the next numbers?
Well, I think it's very important to understand. I mean, what you're talking about basically is using the Bible as an instruction manual. When you buy something from the store, you look at the instructions on how to put it together. If you're a brand new Christian, you're not looking for instructions on how to put your life together biblically. So that's what the point that people have to understand, that if they're a brand new believer, they're looking to change how they're thinking. What worked before won't work anymore.
Yeah, we could probably do a whole program on the importance of saturation with the Bible, with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that biblical worldview is the only view that works. If you start adding to or taking away, the Bible talks about a curse being placed upon you. And the reason is because that, you know, we talked about that three-strand cord being important. The reason is because Satan is going to try to divide you from the Word of God and from your team. And so we have to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. And the reason we have this team that we stick together, because, you know, that there was a story back in World War II, that they always required three people to be in a trench. And the reason is because one person could be easily overcome. Two people, usually not, but they could, you know, have a division and that there could be a falling away. But if there were three people in that trench, that there was a unity and a accountability that occurred between those three, so they stuck together and they didn't desert, and that they didn't run away from the battle. And getting those three people together, and that's just figuratively, that three-strand cord, that team together gives you accountability. If you don't have an accountability partner, get an accountability partner. Tony's one of my top accountability partner. That means that basically that it says that if you fall, is there somebody there to lift you up, to mm-hmm. get you back on track? You know, the most important thing after you get saved, I tell this to every person I can think of, but especially those people that have recently made a decision, is after you got saved, the most important thing for you to know is to keep short accounts. That means God already knows where your account is. He wants you to acknowledge that account, keep it short, and get on with life. And that's what an accountability partner does. And we're going to need accountability partners to make sure that we do what God wants us to do, not what the world tells us to do or what our flesh does. Difficult. So getting our team together, saturating ourselves with the Word of God, absolutely important. So as we jump into the back half of the program, the next thing that's more critical than anything else, I believe, as we go through the things to get ready for, the actual physical preparations, would be get a safe place. Now, get a safe place could mean a lot of things, a lot of different things to a lot of different people. We are not saying to plan to hibernate in the mountain someplace, so that basically you can avoid the persecution that's to come. That's not what I'm saying at all. A safe place is going to be determined by God's calling on your life. A safe place might be in the very home that you're living. And again, it might be a safe place, you know, in a RV trailer that is traveling across the country, very mobile, very, very able to change directions. Or it might be that mountain location where you decide to make a place that is sustainable for those last days. I don't know where your safe place is. Tony, what's your thoughts on a safe place?
Well, say a safe place is some place where you're safe. You can work from your calling, and it might be a place where people come to hang out with you too, like-minded people. They want people around them. So it's like you said, RV. Well, for me, I sold my house last year at the top of the market. I bought an RV. I came out to see you, something I would have never been able to do if I'd have stayed tied into the rat race. And it's funny because I have four friends that did the same thing. And what's strange is one of them here in Mississippi right now. One of the people from my church is in Mississippi right now at the other RV parks. We're going to go over and see them later on today, we just found out. So people, and they're sharing what they're doing with other people. They're sharing the word of God with people. They're mobile. They're not tied to one place, and they're not stuck in one place.
Well, you know, I put a safe place,
mm-hmm.
but I probably should have not put the safe place. There's a scripture, you know, in Matthew in chapter 8, where Jesus is in a boat, and the disciples follow. Then suddenly a furious storm comes up on the lake, so the waves are sweeping over the boat. And inside this boat were the disciples, and then Jesus was in the back of the boat. And the disciples were scared. You know, that they saw the water tossing over the boat and, you know, the waves churning. And so the disciples went to the back of the boat and said to Jesus, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown."
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus, waking, said, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then Jesus got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves and everything was calm. And the story is this: the safest place to be is wherever God, wherever Jesus wants you to be. And so you could be, quote unquote, in the safest place you could think of, you know, in the mountains under, in a storm bunker, you know, in a nuclear bunker. But if that's not where God wanted you, that would be the absolutely worst place to be. So I think the safe place is wherever Jesus is calling you to be, which might not mean, you know, this boat that the disciples were in was not a very, quote unquote, safe place. It was in the middle of a churning storm. And that might be where God calls you. It might be a prison ministry. It might be your safe place, you know, as it turns out, could be in a FEMA camp witnessing to other folks. So the first, for me, that I know what my calling is, and that's to tell people about Jesus. I'm an evangelist. I love telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ, about how he saved me, about how he offers life to all who come, how he will forgive you, and then guide you and direct you. And so wherever that safe place is for me, it can't be away from people that need to know about Jesus. That can't happen. And so that, you know, it might be in a local church that we have a church in Suffolk, and that it might be the safest place for me. That Arthur Pulaski, he's the pastor in Canada that is being persecuted for his faith, telling folks not to miss church and go to church and not to miss Easter and to. He went to the truckers, and of course he did 50 days in jail, and he suffered completely for his faith, and now he's on house arrest. But the safest place for Arthur, I think his name is, Pulaski, is doing where he's at, exactly where he's at. You know, that I have a lot of thoughts. I think Tony's doing exactly what God's called him to do, that he's an itinerant preacher. He loves going place to place and telling people about Jesus. Making him mobile seems to be something that is just has become second nature in Tony's life. He can live out his calling. Tell us about that safe place that you're calling right now, the going around the country RVing, Tony.
Well, yeah, I go around, I share with people, I meet people, I talk to people about God. I'm in an RV park right now. There's probably 100 people here, you know, probably. But I get to share with a few of them, you know, about God. I get to share with a few of them about who they are and what they are. I find out what people are thinking, and I keep pointing them back to what the truth is. And see, what you have to realize is this: a safe place is not a physical place. My citizenship is not here on the earth. My citizenship is in heaven. Right, so if my citizenship is in heaven, I know where my safe place is. That's keeping my mind tied to God. That's keeping my thoughts tied to God. When something goes bad, I know who to turn to. I know who to talk about. I don't feel bad about calling Steve and saying, "Hey, I got a tough day going on. Can you pray with me? I need a little bit of extra help right now." All those things are a safe place. And it's not a physical place. It is a spiritual realm where you become part of when you're born again. Everyone who's truly born again can tell you the moment they got born again. They know when it was. So, and in that process, that's they start creating their safe place with God. And you take that with you. You know, the guys in the boat were afraid, but Jesus was in the boat also, and he wasn't afraid. Why? He wasn't bound by the boat. He got up and said, oh, you guys of little faith, watch this. Storm, be quiet. And they turned around, kind of, I'm pretty sure, and said, why didn't you guys do this? I'm going back to sleep. The condition of the world is not going to keep me from getting a good night's sleep. So
that's true.
An important thing to understand.
Well, and so, you know, that safe place, you need to think about and pray about it. And I think that that place is going to be is what is your calling? You don't want to live your whole life and then run at the last second away from what your calling is. God will direct you as to what you're supposed to be in. Whatever that thing that makes you come most alive is the thing that you should be doing, especially in that end time, because that is what God has gifted you with. It might be giving. It might be preaching. It might be helping others. You know, I'm not sure what it is, but whatever that calling is, you want to be doing that when Jesus returns. And so, you know, right now I've got 12 acres up in the mountains, and I am trying to get that place set up so that that would be a physically safe place in the event that things happen that I need to have a place to go to or to have other folks go to in case they needed a place to be. That, you know, that they say from a standpoint, if you actually want to go to a FEMA camp or be locked in without and have a horde of folks come and, ransack your house. They said that three things to prepare for from a physical standpoint is that the three basic things that you need to do in order to survive that is, one, get out of the city, two, get out of the city, and three, get out of the city. So, you know, that I think it's a wise idea to plan to have something available for you or your friends or family that is out of the city. Because once, you know, the proverbial situation happens that I ain't going to, once that situation happens, they're going to put those cattle arms down. You think those red and white bars on the interstate are meant for hurricanes? Think again. Those are going to keep people in town that they want to keep in town and keep people off the interstate they want to keep off the interstate. The moment they decide that basically, hey, listen, it's shutdown time, lockdown time, those things are going to come down. They're going to put a Humvee with a machine gun operator on top, and nobody's going to come to that exit anymore. And if you're inside the city, that's where you're going to stay. And so if your calling is possibly to be outside the city and away from the lockdown that these communists are going to put on us and possibly to completely avoid the FEMA camp that they're going to send a lot of folks to, just like in World War II where they sent the Jews to Auschwitz, then you might want to consider having some place that you can get to in a hurry, you know, as things start to develop downward. So, again, not an easy answer as far as what a safe place is. It's wherever Jesus wants you to be. But take in consideration that if it's not to be doing something inside the city, if it's not to be overwhelmed with the folks that are, and it's probably not a bad idea to have a place that you can get to in the emergency so that you can avoid some of the things that are getting ready to happen. Your thoughts, Tony, before we go to the next one.
Well, I think that's very important. I think, again, you have to think like you've never thought before. This is not a time that we've ever seen. This is the time that we believe is bringing in the end times. So what worked before is not what we be doing now. As you learn and grow, your knowledge changes. Scripture says when you were a babe, you played with little toys. When you became a man, you put away those things and you thought like a man. Well, this is what you got to learn how to do. You got to learn how to think how a soldier would deal this and a godly soldier. So that's the big thing right now.
So the next number, is number six. And I, you know, these are not made for, you know, we could have a big list or a small list with a lot of things grouped under one thing. But one thing that you need to be aware of is that once we enter into this last days end time period
and we see these four horsemen riding, things are going to get bad. We see the inflation and all the supply chain shortages and the threats of disease and medical tyranny and things of that nature, that we need to be self-resilient, self-sustainable. So things like medicine and guns and water and food and money. My dad used to always, he went to Glory back in 2015. He would always have this, $500 in small bills. And he would put it in a sock and call them his sock money. So that, you know, if he had to get out of town, he had this whole prepper bug out bag. We both had a bug out bag, you know, which is basically just a knapsack that has some survivability things in it. So if we had to leave, that we could grab that, that we always had fuel in the ready to be put in the vehicle, so that we had enough resources so that if we had to leave, that we could grab the little bit of gold, the little bit of guns, the little bit of ammo, the little bit of sock money, and then hop into the vehicle that had a full tank of gas and get out to where we needed to get. And that place would be stocked with more medicine, food, ammo, water, you know, resources. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that you need to prepare for, but that's going to be something that you can go to a prepper list online and try to figure out how to prepare things. You know, that we're seeing food shortages, the Bible predicts food shortages, that if you don't take the government approved inoculation that causes blood clots, then you're probably not going to get services from those facilities called hospitals and doctors, because you're going to be prohibited unless you have taken the bioweapon shot. And so that, make sure you get all your medical care taken care of now. If you've got a surgery you need to get done, if you have health issues that need to be taken care of, get them resolved now while we're having a lull in the excitement, and that you may or may not be able to get into the healthcare facilities that you might otherwise think that you would like to have. That could be a short period of time. Tony?
I think you're totally correct. I think that what you have to do is make sure that you're planning ahead as if tomorrow could be it. And if you understand, not that it is, but that tomorrow could be the day you come home and say, honey, we got to get out of here. So if you're planning like that, when that time comes, it's second nature. What you do is not something you freak out about. It's something you prepared for. So you know what has to happen. So in that process, you've got some ivermectin. You've got some things that help you. And if you need help getting that, contact Steve or me. We'll be glad to help you get it. There's lots of places to get stuff. You just got to know where to go.
Yeah. So, you know, with all that being said, we're down to about the last 6 or 7 minutes of the program. And so that we're going to try to maybe wrap up with one more. And, you know, I think this, again, goes back to where we need to be spiritually, you know, where we need to have a biblical worldview of what's getting ready to happen. And so then, so I think the thing that we need to really, you know, in the 3.5 year mark of this 7 year time period called Jacob's Trouble, the tribulation, that we're going to see a lot of terrible stuff happen. You're going to see a persecution that you've never seen before. We are really, you know, I'm a little bit, I don't want to say anxious, because I'm casting my anxiety upon him, but I am recognizing that time is short to get prepared for all these other things. But probably the most important thing from an eternal standpoint, after getting saved and then living out your calling, is to make sure that you prepare your heart for the suffering that is to come. You know, Philippians, the first chapter in the 29th verse says, "For it has been granted to you," he's talking about Christian believers, "on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." And, you know, that Listen, you might be somebody that believes in the, you know, what is called the pre-tribulation rapture, which, you know, as we approach the 7 years, that 7 years gets ready to start, then, you know, we get transported by rapture to heaven, and that we miss all the bad things that happened to those earth dwellers until it's all over. Then Jesus brings his bride back, and, you know, there's no problems. But I'm telling you, that is not the way Scripture reads. That's not the idea that Jesus ever had for his bride. He's giving us an epic opportunity to suffer with him. That's what the Bible says. It says to believe, not only to believe on him, but to suffer also for him. He's going to give us the same opportunity that he gave to us to suffer for him. And you say, well, why would the church, you know, have to go through all this? Well, you know, God has a plan, but it's not to let us not participate with him in this epic ending. So I believe, you know, that we're going to be here for for probably, you know, somewhere between 3.5 and 6 years of that time period. It's called the pre-wrath, the pre-wrath rapture belief. And that at the 3.5 year mark, we see this wicked person called the Antichrist unveiled and require those people on the earth to take this thing called the mark. And if you're not prepared to suffer, if you're not prepared to give your life for Jesus, you might be somehow, if you believe that somehow that you're already supposed to, none of this is going to happen before you're raptured out, you might be convinced that basically that you should go ahead and take that ticket, whatever that ticket is, that sign, that mark, that allows you to eat and drink and have commerce with other folks. So we need to have a change of mind. We need to start recognizing that we're in it to win it, but that means that we're going to suffer even as Jesus did. And so if you're not there, read the Bible, read the scriptures and see what it says, as opposed to what somebody has told you. How are you going to avoid this whole thing before it's all over? Tony, we got 2 more minutes left and then we got to close.
I think this is very, very important. Don't believe what they tell you. Believe what the book tells you. Believe what the gospel is sharing with you. Well, count on that. That's never let me down. It's never let a lot of people down. It'll tell you the truth. So the truth will set you free.
Well, like I said, there's so much more to be said about that. But what we have to do is we have to be Bereans. We have to study the Word of God. We have to be prepared for what the Bible says will be the Satan's wrath that will be followed by this time of rapture and then God's wrath for that last period of time. I understand what it means. Colleen, I wish we could have had more conversation with you. I understand why we couldn't, but do you want to say anything before I close this and land this plane?
No, it's a good program. I actually had a call. I don't know if you saw me take a call. A lady was saying you're right on point. She actually wants a recording of the program. So just wanted to let people know that we can, that stay tuned in with what we're doing here with the program. And if you have questions or comments, you know, certainly do that. Hopefully my voice will be back in full next Tuesday.
Okay, Tony, last words, and I'll.
I think the last word should be we pray for Colleen to be healed.
Why don't we do that? Folks, we're going to let you go, and God bless you. Tony, why don't you go ahead and close this program off with praying for Colleen and her soon return to complete health.
I will. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father God, I come right now, Lord, in the authority of your Son, Lord. In the resurrection power of your Son, Lord, and I pray healing upon Colleen, Lord. I ask that you restore her vocal cords, Lord. Whatever the bacteria, virus, whatever it is, be cast out in the name of Jesus. I command that it go in Jesus' name. She will be restored, wake up tomorrow, her voice will be normal, and all things will be as they were. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's done, Colleen. You take care, folks. God bless you all. If you have any questions, go to www.debtfreeva.com, whether it be legal or spiritual or anything else. Until then, And until next Tuesday at 12:30, God bless you. Have a great weekend. Find yourself in the house of the Lord this weekend. And until then, take care.
You have been listening to the Faith and Freedom Network, sponsored by Steve Taylor and the Alliance Legal Group, Hampton Roads hometown attorney for more than 30 years. For more information, you can contact them at debtfreeva.com. That's debtfreeva.com. And tune in every Tuesday and Thursday right here on The Lighthouse for Faith and Freedom Network.